Happy Tuesday, hockey fans. This is your host, Amy Johnson. Thank you so much for joining us yet again for another week of From the Press Box here on the AHL Report. We're so glad you're here. It's November. Can you believe it? And of course, I'm joined this week, as always, by my fantastic co-host, the editor-in-chief and founder of Rocket Sports Media, Mr. Rick Stevens.
Happy to be here. We're in November. We're in Movember, and the Rocket Sports team is participating and supporting and helping make awareness a priority. And and there's lots of action to talk about.
There is. If folks would like to get on board with the Movember initiative, be sure to check us out on social media. You can find some links to our team All Habs and Rocket Sports Media Movember fundraising pages. But as Rick says, we have a stack show for you today, folks. There is so much information we're going to throw your way today. We're going to get right into it. We've got a lot of stuff with the Rocket to cover, a ton of AHL news to cover. And oh, man, let me tell you, top five is going to be fun this week. Woo! Going to be fun. So, Rick, let's get right down to it. Let's get on the ball here with the Rocket. They came off of a three-game homestand last week where they hosted the Toronto Marlies on Wednesday night and then had a back-to-back series against the Syracuse Crunch on Friday and Saturday. And it's been, you know, it's been an interesting few games for the Rocket. That Wednesday night game against Toronto, you know, they came off a road trip where they had managed to get three or four potential points, and then they come home and they get shut out by Toronto at home, which, again, it was one of those instances where, like the big club, the defense was really breaking down. You couldn't really pin this on Charlie Lindgren at all. And I remember thinking, well, knowing Lindgren the way we do, he's going to be anxious to get back into the crease on Friday night and prove to everyone that's not on me. But then a funny thing happened, and he didn't get to play on Friday night because he was called up to Montreal because of Carey Price's injury, where he then ended up starting the following night, and he was the one who got the shutout. So I think he did exactly what I thought he was going to do. It just was with a different team. He went out there and said, no, this is how I play in the crease, and made quite an impact.
Dressed for two games with the Canadiens. The Saturday night game in Winnipeg, he backed up Al Montoya and then got the call on the big stage, the United Center, biggest arena in in the NHL, the anthem, Jim Cornelison, he was superb in a 38 save shutout. He just superb,
absolutely
very happy for him. Just very happy for him, especially because even at the time of the call up, he saw quotes peppered all over Montreal media saying, oh, Charlie Lindgren has been struggling. Oh, he's had a tough year. Oh,
tough.
That conclusion was derived just by looking at his stats line, his goals against and his save percentage, which that's analysis is kind of, it's helped by stats, I guess, but the way you do analysis is attending games and going to practices and traveling around the AHL like we do. Charlie's not had a bad season at all, but the numbers don't tell you that.
Wow, I wish someone had told me that if all I needed to do was to get a job in sports reporting in the mainstream media, that all I had to do was just look at a stat sheet.
Yeah, or maybe just sit and watch for highlights and do zip quips. And, you know, maybe that makes you a good analyst.
Hey, why not? So good on Charlie Lindgren. Could not be more bursting with pride for that young man in the performance that he put out there on Sunday night. And as we expected him to do, and it looks like he's going to get the call again tonight as the Canadiens host Vegas at the Bell Center. So he's going to get a Bell Center start tonight. We wish him all the best. In the meantime, in Laval, however, that meant that Zach Fucali got the start over the weekend with Michael McNiven brought up. Well, actually, they had an emergency. Well, because of how quickly things happened, they had an emergency local backup in place on Friday night, and then McNiven was called up from Brampton on Saturday. And, you know, Fucali ended up getting the win, and actually two wins. And it's one of those things, again, Zach looked good. He comes up big in big high pressure situations, but his defense was also a lot tighter, which also helps things along a little bit better too. So, you know, we'll see. It depends on when Carey Price comes back from this minor injury that he allegedly has, to see when Lindgren will come back down and when, how that balance is going to go. But for now, it's the Fucali McNiven tandem in Laval. And interestingly enough, Rick, just kind of sidestepping over to the Brampton Beast, you know, we'd always talked about how it was an interesting situation for McNiven down in Brampton, right this season, because they're rolling three goaltenders down there, with Hogberg being there from the Senators and McNiven being there and also D'Agostino. But Brampton's down two goaltenders now, I believe, correct?
Well, we'll see what happens, how, you know, the big trade happened, the big three-team trade, major news between the Ottawa Senators, Nashville Predators, Colorado Avalanche, and with prospects involved in that trade, it's going to have spinoff effects on the AHL. Andrew Hammond, Belleville Senators goalie, as part of the deal, went to Colorado, or is now property of Colorado. So, you know, he wondered what was going to happen if Hammond was leaving Belleville. Did that mean that Hogberg would be moved up to Belleville? Mm-hmm. And would that mean then that the goalie situation would be sorted out a bit better in Brampton? Well, I mean, there's another monkey wrench that's got thrown into that, and that's the Sweden trip.
Right.
And so Colorado Ottawa. Ottawa has called up for that trip, has called up Hogberg from the ECHL to be their third goalie, I guess, on the trip. So there's been news that maybe Colorado will loan him to the Senators and leave him there as they try to move him. It's too early to say. We'll see how it all shakes out. But and you know, with McNiven now in the Rockets, suddenly the Brampton's in a pinch.
Suddenly Brampton has no goaltenders.
Well, Andrew D'Agostini, and he's just a delightful guy, a team guy.
Yes, he is.
And he'll get the starts this week for Brampton, I expect.
I expect the same. It'll be interesting. You know, first we go from having too many goaltenders to not enough goaltenders. So we'll see how all of that shakes out and how that's going to affect the Habs goaltending situation going forward, as at some point I would imagine McNiven will be going back down to Brampton. Also last week, finally, we've been waiting for weeks for this to happen with the Rocket. We thought it would be happening right at the beginning of the season, like everyone else in the AHL and so forth tends to do. But I guess with so many new faces on the team, I guess that Laval decided to kind of take the month of October, basically, and let the guys kind of get to know one another, build some chemistry, and wait about a month before having the player vote on who the captains and the alternates were going to be. And so that was finally revealed on Friday morning. And the captain of the team that the players voted on is actually one of the veteran newcomers. Byron Fraze was elected as the new captain of the Laval Rocket, and his alternates are Chris Terry and Matt Taormina. So two of the three are new faces on the team, not new faces in the AHL, that's for sure. This is Byron Fraze's first time out as a captain, and he ended up actually scoring the shootout winner that night in the game, which I think kind of really capped off probably a banner day for him in his hockey career. But solid veteran presence there with all three of them in those leadership roles.
Yeah, very fitting that he got the shootout winner. And as you said, it's veteran leadership, phrase Terry Taramina, and you know, not to look at the other side of it. It's probably unlikely that that those three are in line for an immediate call up, and not because you know, they wouldn't help the Canadians, but they aren't prospects. They aren't players that the Canadians are developing, and being veterans, they would have to go through waivers on the way back down,
right.
And they wouldn't want Lavelle to lose that leadership. So I think they're good choices. All three are you know, Chris Terry's got a bit of an injury and missed some time, but all three are near the top of the scoring race for Lavelle.
For sure.
So it was a good choices all around.
And nice to now have a dedicated and assigned leadership team as things really start to gel and come together for the team in the early part of the season here. One guy that also is really contributing and is really getting people to take notice of him is Peter Holland, who in one instance of that this weekend netted a hat trick against Syracuse and was it's quite exciting fashion, of course, as a hat trick always is. And here's where Amy's going to get on her Amy has a bone to pick with people soapbox. Okay. Anyone who watches hockey, I don't care how old you are, if you've watched more than three hockey games in your life, we all know what happens when a hat trick occurs, right? When a hat trick occurs, you throw your hat onto the ice. It's giving respect and congratulations to the guy. I mean, anybody go try to score a goal in professional hockey, much less three of them in one game. They deserve every accolade they should get and every celebration they should get. And Peter Holland's hat trick was not the first, not the second, but the third time already in this young season for the Laval Rocket where a player from Laval has scored a hat trick on home ice at Place Belle, and not a single hat hit that ice surface. Not a single freaking hat. You cannot tell me that these people who go to Place Belle, oh, I've never watched hockey before and I don't know what I should do when someone scores three goals. A, pay attention to the game to realize that someone has scored their third goal. And B, I had somebody on Twitter give me some BS response about, in Quebec, Quebec people and Quebec fans don't really like the whole hat trick tradition, so they tend to not throw hats. I call BS on that, because when's the last time at the Bell Center somebody scored a hattie that you did not see the ice littered with baseball caps and toques? So I don't know what the fans in Laval are doing, but get your crap together and start actually supporting the guys who are working their butts off for you on the ice. End rant.
Yeah, and the people of St. John's must be thinking, hey, wait a minute, you know.
Well, they would love to be throwing their hats and their jackets and their jerseys and everything else on the ice, and you guys can't come up with one freaking hat. Give me a break.
You know what's going to be interesting is wait till Daniel Audette gets a hat trick. Wait till Nick Deloria gets
Nick DeLoria,
a hat trick. Wait
yep.
till Eric Chalina. Okay, let's not be stupid. Guy Lafleur got plenty of recognition, hats and otherwise, in the Montreal Forum. So I don't know what's going on there. I know that, you know, people will say, oh, well, hats are $30 and they're expensive, but that's all around the league. We don't, you know, maybe there's fewer, to have none. Absolutely
it's
none.
Ridiculous. Three times.
Particularly that game where there was two hat tricks, Dan Carr and was it Chris Terry?
It was Chris Terry and Dan Carr. Both scored hat tricks in one game.
In
everybody's
the same
like,
game.
Oh, really?
And, yeah,
I didn't
not
know
a hat
anything happened.
To be seen. Yeah.
So, yeah. Give me a break. Let's avoid another Amy rant on this topic and people in Laval, please, if you have to just wear an old crappy hat to the game in case there's a hat trick and you don't mind parting with it, then do that. But
throw somebody else's hat.
Well, that's fine too. That's fine too. Just throw a hat. I mean, these guys are out there working their butts off for you, and you know, help them, make them feel appreciated for what they're doing out there. It's just do it, to quote Nike. All right. Well, moving along into some AHL news, which we have a slew of this week. So we're going to try to just whittle our way right through this. The first story that I'd like to actually get to is one that I'm really happy to talk about. And it's a story about, you know, we talk all the time about how, in fact, we just spoke about this, I believe last week when we were talking about some commentary that Nick Delorier had towards the beginning of the season. We were talking about how every single guy in every AHL dressing room is just working their butts off to try to get an NHL call up. And they're working and they're working and they're working. For a lot of them, it doesn't ever happen, but they don't ever give up on that dream. And we have a story this week of a guy who's been doing that, working his butt off for at least 7 seasons in the AHL, and finally, at the age of 29, got his first NHL call-up this past week. And that's defenseman Will O'Neill, who plays with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, got called up to play with the Philadelphia Flyers for one game, and it ended up being a 2-0 shutout over St. Louis, which is just fantastic. And I love to hear, Rick, I love to hear stories like this, because at 29, this guy probably thought, I was starting to probably think, am I ever going to get the call? And he did.
And it couldn't have happened to a better guy. Just one of the nicest guys in the AHL.
Absolutely.
Genuine, you know, goes out of his way to be nice to people and always a great attitude and a good team guy. And I agree with everything you said. It's a really a feel-good story, absolutely, to see him get called up.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is, and yes, he has been sent back down, you know, but it's, I'm sure he savored every second of it and not losing faith. And that's really the lesson for these young guys who, you know, they're maybe in their second, third, fourth year of being pro and maybe haven't gotten a call up yet, or maybe they've been called up a couple of times, but they're not sticking up with the show, things like that. You know, this is a testament to, you just got to keep the faith. If you work hard, if you have the right attitude, at some point the cards are going to fall into place where you could get that call up. And, you know, interestingly enough, we've been talking a lot in the hockey realm as far as the Canadians and their affiliate has been concerned about, you know, who you call up, especially the blue liners in Montreal. Defense has been an issue. Defense has been an issue in Laval as well. Here's an instance where, you know, the Flyers actually are very stacked in depth at defense, as most people know. It's one thing they've drafted very well over the last few years. This game that O'Neill was called up for, he was called up because Radko Gudas went out with an injury. This game that he was called up for, in which they got a shutout over the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in franchise history, the Flyers iced 4 defensemen who had fewer than 15 games of NHL experience each. That's Robert Hagg, who had 14 games experience, Travis Sanheim, 10 games, Mark Ault, and Will O'Neill, who had 3 games experience, and Will O'Neill with his first game. 4 defensemen with less than 15 games of NHL experience, and they get a 2-0 shutout with, we all know how shaky goaltending, no matter who's in net for Philadelphia, the goaltending's iffy. They ice 4 of 6 defensemen with less than 15 games of NHL experience, and they manage to pull out the win. Now, you don't tell me that doesn't take character, take guts by a coach and a GM to call up, you know, I mean, they have to, but they're icing guys that don't have the experience and they still pull out the win. I think that's an amazing story and a lesson to be learned with other teams who are struggling on the blue line. Okay, so moving along. Speaking of wills, I'd like to spend just a minute on something that very special that happened this past week with another guy named Will, who, well, actually Willie. Willie O'Ree was the first Black AHL and NHL player, and he spent time with the Springfield Thunderbirds way back in the day. And he was honored at the MassMutual Center last week in Springfield, where he was inducted into the Springfield Hockey Hall of Fame Friday night. And Rick, these are the things that we don't, at the NHL level, we don't always hear about these things unless these guys get inducted into the NHL Hall of Fame. But I think this is a really special moment for the league, for the AHL. It's just something really special to see Springfield honoring one of their own. I mean, this is back in 1958 was when O'Ree broke into the NHL and broke that barrier for young hockey players of color. And I just think it's a really, really nice occasion that they inducted him into the Hall of Fame. And apparently, you know, Dave Andrews was there on Friday night. It was a very big ceremony, lavish ceremony, and pregame and whatnot. And I really think it was a special thing for Springfield fans and for the AHL.
It's a great story. And it's the kind of things that it's one of the reasons on AHL.report that we do a once a week headlines post. And it's just a news capsule of interesting things that have happened during the week. And over the summer, it featured that that lost Calder Cup ring. You know, those kinds of stories that we need, we think need to be brought to light. And this is another perfect example of you know, the kinds of stories that deserve more recognition than sometimes they get.
Yeah. You know, and Willie O'Ree is 82 and was apparently looking quite well dressed and just all done up for his big night on Friday night. The article that I saw online about it said that he's still spry and dapper at 82. And I, from the photographs, I would absolutely believe it. So congratulations to Willie O'Ree. And thanks to him and the teams that he played on back in the '50s to allow those firsts to happen and pave the way for many other young hockey players who came after him. Following that, we do want to discuss the CCM AHL Player of the Week, and that designation this week goes to Toronto Marlies forward Mason Marchment. Their games against Laval actually went into this nomination this week. He had a goal and six assists in three games last week. Two of those assists came against Laval at Place Belle on Wednesday. So congratulations to Mason Marchment. I remember both games that they kind of played at home and home with Toronto, and Marchment was all over the place. He's was very noticeable on the ice. So well-deserved, and congratulations to him for being the CCM AHL Player of the Week.
And another one of those players who has a famous dad, Brian Marchment, defenseman, long time in the NHL, and was known as he lost part of his sight in one eye, and he's now with the Barracuda, I think, as a development coach.
Okay.
For him.
Nice.
But one of those prodigies, legacy players.
Going along with that Player of the Week, the AHL has also now put out their monthly award winners for October. So starting with the CCM AHL Player of the Month, that would be Stockton Heat forward Andrew Mangiapane. He put up, let's see here. Well, he scored the first goal of the season for Stockton, and he's had – He sits on top of the AHL right now in points and shares the league lead in assists, and he is tied for second in plus minus, and he's only 21 years old. So he's certainly doing some major things out there in Stockton, and he was the CCM AHL Player of the Month. I'm very happy to announce the Rookie of the Month, one of Lehigh Valley Phantoms' own, Mike Vecchione, who was a former Hobie Baker candidate. And let me tell you, Vecchione, he's been quite prominent, along with Donick Martell. He's been quite prominent for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms so far this season. In the month of October, he tallied 2 goals and 8 assists for 10 points with a plus 8 rating in 10 games. So he's doing quite a good job as a rookie, and is tied for the AHL lead in rookie scoring with his 10 points. And he is second among rookies with 8 assists so far. So congratulations to Mike Vecchione.
I always want to say Vecchione, and that's because I went to high school with a guy, Sam Vecchione, which I'm sure Sam is listening.
I'm sure.
But yes, I keep having to be reminded that it's Vecchione. Vecchione was a linemate of Dan Carr
at Union.
When they won the Frozen Four, Frozen Four champion. And in fact, Vecchione was it was this spring that he broke Dan Carr's points record, all-time Union points record that was previously held by Dan Carr was surpassed by Vecchione. So congratulations.
Well, and imagine starting your college hockey career at Union College, winning the Frozen Four as a freshman.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's not a bad way to start your college hockey career. And speaking of guys who I'm also proud to announce as a winner from the AHL this month would be the CCM AHL Goaltender of the Month, who is one of my favorite goaltenders in the AHL, and that is Utica Comets' own Thatcher Demko. We've covered Thatcher quite extensively throughout his time spent with USA Hockey at National Junior Evaluation Camps and All-American Prospect Games and whatnot before he was drafted. And he's just been lights out for Utica over the past couple of years. In fact, he's actually not with Utica right now. He got called up to Vancouver this week. So he is up with the Canucks at this moment. But he's doing quite well.
And he's a great juggler. He's a wonderful juggler.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. His pregame prep is pretty impressive to sit and watch. In fact, I think that was it in Lake Placid. We saw him not just juggling, but juggling against the wall.
That's right. Yeah.
Which was
right.
My mind was completely boggled on how he was doing what he was doing. Great hand-eye coordination. So congratulations to those three for their awards for this month of October. And we'll be sure to keep you updated as the AHL announces more winners in subsequent months coming forward. Which brings us, of course, to Where Are They Now?
Where Are They Now?
Where Are They Now? I have been forewarned that, surprise, surprise, Rick's Where Are They Now might be a little extensive this week.
No, it's not. No.
maybe a little. Would you like to start, or do you want me to get mine out of the way first?
Yeah, because okay. Otherwise I'll get blamed for stealing. I think permanently you should just go first on this one.
Really? Well, I don't think that you're going to steal my choice this week, and I'm going to give shout out to a longtime listener, longtime friend, longtime coworker on the All Habs team, and that would be Kathy. You can find her online at Checktacular.
Checktacular.
Checktacular is the person who gave me the heads up for my Where Are They Now this week. I wasn't going to
Why
give it
to
you.
Why didn't she give it to me? Yeah.
Because she gave it to me. She gave it to me. And Kathy, I have to applaud her. She faithfully listens to this podcast every Wednesday on her commute on Montreal Transit to and from work. We are her Wednesday entertainment, so we encourage everyone, make us your morning commute on Wednesday mornings. You'll be entertained. And if you ever see Kathy on the bus hiding her face in her scarf, it's because she's laughing her head off and trying not to make a scene. As such, she did listen, of course, last week, and you had quite a journey for us on your Where Are They Now last week, and that journey took us into the KHL, and mm-hmm. she said to me, but he didn't talk about Dustin Boyd. And I said, no, he didn't. So I'm going to take him. Now, Dustin Boyd, some of you might be saying, who in God's green earth is Dustin Boyd? Well, Dustin Boyd was born in Winnipeg. He's a forward. And he played in the WHL for a number of years. And then from 2006 through 2010, split his time between the Calgary Flames and the Quad City Flames. Played in the NHL a bit, played in the AHL a bit, but then went to the Predators during the 2009-2010 season. And in 2010-2011, he played for the Hamilton Bulldogs and the Montreal Canadiens. Now, that season, he played 47 games in Hamilton with 20 goals and 9 assists. And he also played 10 games for the Habs that season, notching 1 goal during that time. He went to the playoffs with Hamilton that year as well. Again, he had the 20 goals and 9 assists in the regular season. In the playoffs, in 20 playoff games, he had 5 goals and 11 assists. And then he disappeared. After that season, Dustin Boyd was nowhere to be seen, and that's because he has spent his time since then playing in the KHL. He was playing for Barry Zastana for, at least 5 years, maybe 6 years, playing about roughly 50 games per season, putting up roughly 15 to 20 goals, 15 to 30 assists every season. And this season he's playing for Dynamo Moskva. So he has already played 31 games. He's gotten 6 goals and 8 assists so far this season. And so he seems to be doing very well for himself over in the KHL. I mean, this is a guy who's got 136 AHL games under his belt and 220 NHL games under his belt. And he's apparently been doing very well for himself in the KHL. But used to play in the Montreal Canadiens system and for the Habs themselves. So thank you, Kathy. That is my Where Are They Now for the week, Mr. Dustin Boyd.
Nicely done. I kind of put them together, those two players together. One I mentioned last week was Nigel Dawes and Dustin Boyd about the same time. So I see that triggered a thought to her to make mm-hmm. that suggestion. That's a great suggestion. I like it.
It is. And so anyone who's listening, if we always say, if you have an idea for someone who's a Where Are They Now, shoot us a message and let us know. And you're welcome to tell me and not Rick. That's fine.
Well, rather than spinning a long story with all kinds of tentacles and connections and everything,
really?
I did last year, I know you.
I'll believe last week.
Last week.
I know, it felt like a year. It really did.
Yeah. See, I tried to go with a couple of short snappers, you know.
All
right. Okay, stay with the KHL.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. And the team is, I don't even know how to say it.
Try that one more time. What was that?
No, I'm not going to.
No, really, try it one more time.
We remember Marc Bergevin. It's kind of he's had an experiment a year, and back in 2014-15, his experiment that year was P.A. Parenteau. It didn't really work out, as many have not. Many of his experiments have not. And so P. PA Parenteau, he once he left the Canadians, he went on to the Leafs, the Devils, the Predators. Anyway, now this season he is playing in the NHL. He just signed a contract there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Mr. Parenteau. Pap. Everybody called him Pap.
Yeah, that's right. back in the 2011 draft, the Canadians selected in the fourth round a defenseman by the name of Magnus Nygren.
Magnus.
And he's been playing for Farstad for a while. This season he moved over to Davos, and last week he signed, I guess they like him, he signed a contract extension with Davos till the end of the 2018-19 season. I have vivid memories of him in development camp. Just a rocket of a shot, an absolute rocket of a point shot. His defenseman played for the Bulldogs. He went to the AHL All-Star Game, 2014, I believe.
Okay.
And he set, I don't know if it's been surpassed or not, but at that time he set the record, the AHL record for the hardest shot. It was above, 104.6, I think was the mark miles per hour. So that's his claim to fame in North America. But always one of those that you felt he could have been, he could have been developed better, or the transition to the NHL could have been better for him. I think he got kind of tired of waiting around and went to Sweden, and he's doing fine there.
Nice.
Some sad news.
Uh-oh.
And that is, we had talked about Ryan White in a previous episode. He was on a PTO with the Boston Bruins, and as of Monday, he was released from his PTO by the Boston Bruins.
So he's a free agent again.
He is. He is. So maybe, give it another week or so. Maybe we'll be having news on him again.
Philly. Go back to Philadelphia. Telling you, Philly loved him and he liked being there. And he's
so sorry. Go ahead.
Nope. Go ahead. Is that the sum total of your where are they now, or do you have
more
in your bag?
I just have one more.
Okay.
One more.
Uh-huh.
The Brampton Beast tomorrow. It's one of those matinee games at 11 o'clock start. Brampton Beast, the ECHL affiliate of the Canadians, they are hosting the Jacksonville Icemen.
And
Jacksonville Icemen are the ECHL affiliate of the Winnipeg Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And this I raise for a reason that not in the lineup, and some fans will be really disappointed, not in the lineup for the Jacksonville Icemen tomorrow when they meet the Brampton Beast.
Yeah.
Because he signed a contract in the Czech Republic. Not in the lineup for the Jacksonville Icemen is Wacy Wabbit. He will not be playing. I'm sorry.
Every time
his name is actually Wacy Rabbit, but it's impossible to say his name without saying Wacy Wabbit.
And I'm sorry, but that... Every time I see his name, I think all I can imagine is people who buy his jersey. Like you're buying a jersey with a rabbit nameplate on the back of it.
First name Wacy, yeah, Wacey. I can't wait. We have to find a highlight because I can't wait to hear how his name is pronounced
call.
In the Czech Republic.
That's right. That's pretty good. I think that's going to, you know, at some point down the line here, I think top five worst hockey names is going to have to be in there, or best hockey names, if you want to throw it that way, depending on how you look at it. But Wacy Rabbit is certainly in there for sure.
So that is my Where Are They Now for this week.
Round of applause, standing ovation. Crowd goes wild. Very nicely done. Very nicely done.
Thank you very much.
So, of course, that means that we now have reached the point of the show you're all been waiting for. That's right. It is time for the top five. And this week, Rick, we have one that I have to say I am my own worst enemy. I really am. I come up with this idea, and then I start to work on the idea to compile my list, and I'm like, oh, crap. What kind of hole did I just dump myself into here? So I'm sure you have rules and disclaimers already. I'm going to have some rules and disclaimers for myself as well, and I think there's going to now need to be, like, sub top fives based off aside from this one down the road. So what is it, folks? What is it? Okay. Top five sports movies, right? You would think that's easy. Which top five sports movies? And then you sit down and you start to think about it and you're like, oh crap. There's like 80 of them that are good. Because it's not just top five hockey movies or top five football movies. It's top five sports movies. So I apologize to myself and to my co-hosts, and to all of you who are going to try to rack your brains and see if you can limit it to five, which I was unsuccessful in doing.
Well, I had three categories.
So you have three different sets of top five?
Well, I have. Well, you mentioned rules. I have rules and exclusions. Then I have honorable mentions, and then I have my top five.
Okay. So what are your rules and exclusions? This ought to be good.
Yeah, my rules and exclusions. First of all, I eliminated all hockey movies. I just had to. And some of it was easy because I'm honestly still waiting for a really, really good hockey movie, because I know people are going to say, oh, well, Slapshot, greatest movie, and our friend Jay Baruchel with Goon. To me, they just feed the stereotypes and exaggerate them, actually, and certain segment of the movie going public already has an opinion of and then a bench clearing brawl breaks out, which hasn't happened in a long time, but those are the kinds of movies that feed that, and so I don't like them. And I know there's other movies. There's Miracle. There's Mighty Ducks. The Rocket movie. Why is that not on my list? Just wasn't a great movie. A great topic, and yeah, Vinnie LeCavalier was in it. And it was about Maurice Richard and everything. Yeah, it was an okay movie.
But so, Mystery Alaska is like the best movie ever.
Which one?
Mystery Alaska.
Great. And my other exclusions were, Hoosiers is supposed to be, well, it is a good movie, but I don't like basketball. So it's out. No soccer. I can't stand soccer. So it's out. Any Bend It Like Beckham, or it's gone. So those are all hockey movies, basketball movies, and soccer movies are off my list. Those are my exclusions.
Okay, the hockey movies is an exclusion because you just don't want to rank them. But the other, I mean, if this isn't like, you know, it's like you're apologizing, like, oh, well, Hoosiers isn't on my list and it should be. Because it's your top five. It's not everybody else's top five. So if you don't want to put Hoosiers on your list, don't put Hoosiers on your list.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
I mean, I would also
That was quick. I got through that quick. And now I just have honorable mentions and my top five.
Okay. I also don't have any soccer movies because I hate soccer. Sorry, to all of you who like soccer. I can't stand it. And yes, I've been to a soccer game. I've been to an IMHF game. I've been to a Man United game, and I still didn't like it. So please don't hate me. Please don't at me. I don't like soccer. Used to like basketball. Never liked the NBA. Used to like college ball. And then it all just got stupid. So other than Space Jam, which we all know is the best basketball movie that's ever been created, there's no basketball movies on my list either. And there's no, you know, cricket movies. You know, okay, so here's the funny thing. If you go to Wikipedia and you just type in sports movies, there of course, there's a list in Wikipedia of every sports movie that's ever been created, whether it was a made-for-TV movie, whether it was a documentary, or whether it was like a major released feature film. And they have it broken down by sport. And I'm scrolling through this thing, and literally there is a movie that has been made about cricket. There has been a movie made about squash. And I'm thinking, who, why? Why? Just why? So yeah, there are exclusions. I have a whole lump of honorable mentions and also my top five. So go ahead, you hit us with your honorable mentions.
I won't spend too long on this, but Raging Bull, Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, Jake LaMotta, about Jake LaMotta. It's not only one of the best sports movies, it's considered one of the best movies of all time. I honestly don't remember it. I think I saw it once and I don't remember it. So that's why I left that off my list. And you know, actually it made me want to go watch it, because this list made me want to go watch that movie, because, and I'd probably include it next time if we talked about this again, which we won't. The Big Blue, was Jean Reno, and it's a movie about, and it's sports. It's still sports, competitive deep sea diving. It was filmed in Greece and Italy, and it's just visually, it's one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. Just spectacular visuals in that movie. But couldn't squeeze it in. And it's about diving.
No.
So.
Well, yeah.
Million Dollar Baby, Clint Eastwood movie, Morgan Freeman's in it. It's about Hilary Swank and a young woman who's determined to be in boxing. I just, on my list, this is kind of a spoiler alert. I have too many boxing movies already, so I couldn't get Million Dollar Baby in there. Any Given Sunday, another honorable mention, Oliver Stone movie, Al Pacino. You know, it was about the famous Al Pacino speech, his inch by inch speech, talking about how the margin of error is so tight in sports. Great speech. Wasn't enough to get on my list. And Major League, which is just a fun movie. It's not a great movie. It's just a fun movie. Essentially a movie about tanking. You know, there's a lot of talk, or certainly there was a lot of talk a week ago about the Montreal Canadiens. The movie's about the Cleveland Indians and trying to tank, and it didn't quite work out. Again, maybe that's a spoiler, but I didn't have room for Major League there.
No.
Those are my honorable mentions. Yeah,
oh, my list
my
is much. Yeah, see, I had a much more difficult time with this. Okay, first of all, I don't know why I didn't think of this when I decided, hey, this is going to be the top five for this week. Hockey is my life. I eat, sleep, breathe hockey 365 days a year. However, I am just overall sports obsessed. If sports are on, I'm watching it. I am that stupid person who's up at 3 a.m., you know, 3 a.m. during the Olympics, but the luge finals are on, and my life would be over if I didn't see what happened in the luge final. I am that person. If tennis, professional tennis, love to watch professional tennis. I love watching football is my second favorite sport. So we've got football, baseball, absolutely. Golf. Yes, people, I watch golf. That's how much of a sports. Shut up about the Masters. Nothing marks the beginning of spring until we are going to Augusta and we are going to get out the green jackets. I don't care what anybody says. And so, yes, I am that sports nerd that will watch golf on a Sunday afternoon.
Golf is so painful on TV.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's skill. It's, oh, love it. Sports. I love them all, which also means I love like every sports movie that comes out, which made this so much more difficult for me. So my honorable mention list is going, I'm just going to run down the list because I can't talk about all of them or we'd be here for another hour. And they're all things that I love all of these. They just didn't have room on my top five. And those would be, and a lot of them are football movies. Rudy, just fantastic. And again, I can't get into my explanations for each one because we'll be here for an hour. So Rudy, fantastic, fantastic movie. The Replacements, Keanu Reeves is a subpar actor at best, but that movie was hilarious.
Subpar.
I absolutely. I said subpar at best, but that movie was hilarious and I loved it. Field of Dreams, goes on my honorable mention list, which was painful for me to put Field of Dreams on my honorable mention list, but I love that movie. Friday Night Lights, for sure. Remember the Titans. And you can just take your non-love of the Mighty Ducks and you can just go take a short walk, take a long walk off a short pier because the Mighty Ducks are going in there. Along with some other great comedies. We actually talked about this briefly last week. The Waterboy with Adam Sandler is just one of the best sports comedies and probably one of my favorites of a sport that I don't watch would be Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, because who doesn't love Will Ferrell as a NASCAR driver? So that's my honorable mention list. You're all welcome to give me your commentary on Twitter on what you think of that honorable mention list. and send us yours as well. But let's get to the meat of it. We had to narrow this down to five. We had to narrow this down to five. This was not easy. And that's it. I didn't even get in things like, you know, like Moneyball and I would have put Slapshot in there somewhere, but yeah.
Caddyshack.
Okay. Top five.
All right. Me first?
Go right ahead.
Well, because I have similar sports in the rest of my list, I had to in the number five slot, I had to put in the best bowling movie of all time.
Oh, I bet I know what this is.
And that is The Big Lebowski.
Absolutely. That was almost going to go on my honorable mention list.
Yeah, because it's partly because I just love anything Coen Brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen, Fargo fame and other movies. This was one of their movies, one of their early movies, and the cast is terrific. You got Jeff Bridges, you got John Turturro in this was terrific.
Yeah,
Steve Buscemi is in it.
Love Steve Buscemi.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know, you think of as a more serious actor. He's in this. John Goodman, Sam Elliott, Julianne Moore. It's a fun, silly movie and a terrific Bolton movie. So it had
absolutely.
To make fun.
Well, for my top five, and that's so. Let me ask you this: when's the last time you watched it?
Long time ago.
Yeah. As I was going through this list, I was like, oh man, I don't have time to watch movies during hockey season, but there's like 20 movies that I now want to go back and rewatch now that I've revisited this list in my head. So my number five, Thank you very much. Is a golf movie. Thank you very much. Golf is a sport. It is a legitimate sport. And Caddyshack has a legitimate place on my top five at the number five spot. Nobody tops Bill Murray. Nobody tops that movie. It's just, it is a classic. I can probably recite the whole thing. I've seen it a billion times and will watch it another billion times. I just, it's so iconic, and it's just, I even saw somebody, I don't remember who it was, but I saw there was a couple on Instagram who dressed up as Bill Murray and the groundhog as their couple costume for Halloween, which I thought was really, really cute. So Caddyshack is my number five for sure.
Nice. Yeah, I'll agree. Anything Bill Murray, and put him right on the list.
Yeah.
For number four, we were talking earlier in the podcast about Will O'Neill getting called up to the show and what a big deal that was. And mm-hmm. so, and given that we focus on the AHL, I thought it was appropriate to include a movie that is all about getting called up to the show. It's about minor league baseball, starring Kevin Costner, and it's Bull Durham.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Robbins was in it, and the quirky kind of pitcher, Susan Sarandon. It was all about minor league baseball, and just silly and very well done. And one of those movies that you can watch a dozen times.
Absolutely, for sure. My number four is actually one that was on your honorable mention list. And to me, it is hands down the greatest football movie that's ever been made, and that's Any Given Sunday. I think it is one of the most, and you mentioned that De Niro speech. I mean, that movie has so many
Pacino.
That movie has so many inspiring moments in it, especially as far as sports goes. And I get chills every single time I watch that movie. I really do. And it really does for it, even outside of football, you know, you can take it can happen on any given Sunday or it could happen on any given Saturday night in hockey, or it can happen if teams just really put themselves in the place to do it. And I absolutely love that movie. So that's my number four.
Nice. Very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go for number three?
Number three, I did not leave hockey movies off my list. Thank you very much. Because I'm not a hockey exclusionist like some people.
Uh-huh.
And because it's another movie that gives me chills every time I watch. This is one of those awkward things where the movie is okay.
Bad.
What?
No, go ahead.
You don't even know which movie it is.
No, I don't. I have no idea.
The movie is okay. The casting is okay. But it's more of just honoring what the movie is about, and that is that really hits home for me, and that is Miracle. Of course, the big U.S. victory, Team USA victory, especially having covered games and gone to Lake Placid a number of times over the last few years, and sitting in the press box in that arena right next to where that game was called, and it's such an iconic moment in hockey history, especially American hockey history. Again, the movie is just okay, but it at least, it brings back all of the feelings and the memories of when that happened. And that's why it's number three on my list.
Well, it's a great topic. And as you say, being in Lake Placid and getting to go in the booth that Al Michaels and Ken Dryden called the game from was, and so there is, I saw the movie. I can appreciate the movie. As you said, casting for me was the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell was a caricature of, of Herb Brooks, maybe. It was way over the top, and it made it a little silly. Not believable, unfortunately.
Yeah. So we have to look past all that.
Right.
Okay, so what's your number three?
My number three is, it was on your honorable mention list. That's Field of Dreams. It just happens that I've got back to back Kevin Costner. I'm not really a big Kevin Costner fan, but Kevin Costner, James Earl Jones, Ray Liotta. And this movie, I mean, if you have a soul at all, you'll like this movie.
Absolutely.
It's an absolute classic.
For sure. Go ahead with your number two.
Number two, I feel bad going ahead because I know you're going to want to talk about this. It's Rocky, the original Rocky. And it was, I mean, it's Sylvester Stallone. It's a movie about, you know, going from nothing to something. Rocky Balboa, he brought to light. I think you'd know better than I, but I think that half of Philadelphia believes that Rocky Balboa is a real person.
He is a real person. You shut your mouth.
Okay, there it is. it's just a movie about just a movie about hard work and perseverance and the music, that signature music, the whole thing. A great movie, just absolutely great movie.
That it is, and he is real. So we just won't talk about that. My number two actually landed on your honorable mention again, and that would be Major League. If there is a baseball movie that I have to watch on a regular basis, it's Major League. It is hysterical. It's hilarious. The casting in that movie was absolutely spot on. The characters in that movie were just completely incomparable to any characters that you will find in any other kind of sports spoof movie like that. But like you say, it's about tanking. It's about they're trying to be the worst, and but that's just it. That's what I love about this movie, is that there are rabid sports fans in any sport. There are fans that love the underdog, love the guys who suck. They love the guy, you know, they live through the pain of loss after loss after loss, because they know, or they believe at least at some point, it's going to pay off. And I don't know. I love watching how the whole team comes together through all of that, and just the ups and downs and the laughs, and it's just a fantastic movie. So Major League is my number two.
It's fun. It's just that when Charlie Sheen comes out of the dugout and the Wild Thing music is playing,
that's right.
It's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious.
It is. So that brings us to our number one, sports movies. Who's going first?
Go ahead. You go first.
All right. Well, I don't think anybody's going to be very surprised at my choice at number one, because he is a real person and because he does exist. I have stood in his footprints, literally stood in his footprints in more than one location around the city of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Rocky Balboa is a real boy. And it's not just Rocky One, it's all of them, including Creed, which just came out a couple. It's all of them. And there are plenty of people who love the Rocky franchise, but I cannot put into words what being from the Philadelphia area means in terms of being a fan of Rocky Balboa and the Rocky franchise. That franchise is the embodiment of Philadelphia. It is blue collar. It is down on your luck. It is scrapping. it just being scrappy and fighting for every day and everything that you've earned, and getting up when you get knocked down over and over and over again. That's the spirit of Philadelphia. That's why a lot of people don't like Philly, because they're hard-edged, they have a chip on their shoulder, and that's it. Philly's a blue-collar town. It really is, and Rocky is their icon. I have done the Rocky run up the stairs of the Philadelphia Museum of Art too many times to count. I have stood in his bronzed footsteps at the top of those stairs a number of times. I have stood in his bronzed footsteps at the counter at Pat's Cheesesteaks, the most famous and the best place to get a freaking cheesesteak in Philadelphia. There will not be any arguing with me about that, because it is also the only place where Rocky Balboa's footsteps are.
How many times have you stood in those footsteps getting cheesesteaks?
We just won't talk
about it. It's just a question.
It's rude. It's rude. And yes, the Rocky theme, there is a reason why at the Wells Fargo Center, at Lincoln Financial Field, and at Citizens Bank Park, it is played at every game. In each of those places, and I would imagine at Wells Fargo for Sixers games as well, you will not experience a louder roar than being in the Wells Fargo Center at the end of the second intermission, as puck is about to drop for the beginning of the third period. That is when the Rocky theme plays at every single Flyers game, and you have never heard an eruption like what happens, especially if it's a tight game. That theme song is the theme song of every person who lives in the greater Philadelphia area. And so Rocky is hands down my favorite sports movie, favorite sports franchise. It's just, it's inspiring, and it's a lifestyle. It really is. It's a lifestyle for folks in these parts.
And I understand why. And that's why it was my next to best selection. I agree with much of what you said. I can't relate to the part about the being in Philadelphia and what that means, but understand fully.
Mm-hmm.
But as it's a story of nothing to something, my number one, I think probably the most inspirational sports movie I've ever seen. And it's determination, but this one's kind of more about a comeback, and kind of it's similar to Rocky. It's kind of that ordinary guy to hero. And it's based on a true story. Yeah, I know. Rocky Balboa.
Is it the Karate Kid?
No, it's not the Karate Kid.
Okay. It's just checking.
It is Cinderella Man.
Oh.
And it's the story of James Braddock and, a washed up boxer and makes a comeback. And it's just, Depression era, 1930s. It's very gritty and dirty, and the fight scenes are tremendous, rather realistic. But the whole, just the Russell Crowe, Paul Giamatti, Renee Zellweger. It's just that long shot this determination, and it's. Like I said, it's very inspirational. Happens that it was filmed in Canada. It was filmed in the Distillery District of Toronto. The fight scenes, the arena, that was done in Maple Leaf Gardens. So I it's a movie that has been a while since I've seen. I want to go back and see it again. But that's how I remember it, as just a very inspirational movie.
Fantastic. Good choice. And we both have boxing movies as our number one. So there you go. Well, we want to hear, this was, trust us. This was we could break this down into, okay, so what are your top five hockey movies? What are your top five football movies? What are your top five baseball movies? And we may revisit some of those later on this season, but this was a challenge to be sure. But I'm really curious. I'd love to hear what your top five sports movies are. You can exclude or not exclude certain sports. It's up to you, but tweet us at the AHL report and let us know what your top five is. We'd love to hear about it. Read them on next week's episode, of course, and share them on social media. So be sure to send out a tweet or a Facebook post and let us know what your top five is for top five sports movies. Coming up this week, the Rocket head out on another road trip. This coming weekend, they will be in Springfield, Massachusetts to take on Bobby Farnham and the Thunderbirds on Saturday night. And they will be in Hartford to take on the Wolfpack on Sunday afternoon. And myself and the Rocket sports team will be attending both of those games. So be prepared next week. We will have some on-site insight as well as some audio from interviews that we will get with some of the players as well as Coach Sylvain Lefebvre. And of course, we'll be sure to follow along with us as we bring you live updates from both of those games on the road at the AHL Report. Check us out.